people from the garden there too.
There will be a meal at 6:30. I want to remind folks that there'll be hot food, and there'll be, I think, also if people can come early at 5 o'clock, they need to support Residentes Unidos, the tenant group, who also is concerned about homeless people, particularly Spanish-speaking homeless people, because according to Grandma Sue, there are 80 homeless Spanish-speaking families out there that are also suffering from this sleeping ban.
And that's what I'm sure that community doesn't as a whole know that there's real families out there. I mean, it's bad enough if you're alone on the streets, but with children, it's really hard on all of them. It should never happen. It shouldn't happen to anybody. There's a space for everybody on this planet.
So you vote, put it on the ballot, huh?
I think so. I think that, you know, given the fact that, you know, there are enough vocal people who are for human rights in this town, hopefully this is enough time to get it out to the community. This is what's happening, and we need you people to vote in a human way and see it for what it is. This is a stupid law that doesn't belong. This ordinance does not need to be happening.
And I guess you would also encourage people, at least I would, to come to the ROAR meeting, Restore Our American Rights, 4:30 on Sunday out at Harvey West Park at Harvey West Boulevard and Du Bois Avenue.
Mm-hmm. I think that's real good.
I guess also you have put out your number as the ROAR number. You have a message machine, which is 457-9754, with extension 1042. Is that right?
Yes.
And are you still roaring it up, or what's happening?
We're still roaring it up.
All right.
We weren't able to come to last week's meeting, but
we're going
to
send out the lions after you if you don't watch out there.
Oh, yeah. We'll make it. You know, one little side note, you know, it'd be very easy for the city council to just pass this. And really, they know a lot of the information from the task force, and, you know, for years, they know information about what's going on.
Right,
and they
are,
choose not to do anything.
Well, you know, we're thinking actually of doing a kind of presenting the Golden Porta Potty Award to the most worthy city council member, because they have refused to put out porta potties and dumpsters, so we think they need a little toilet training.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that may be coming up at city council, a sort of a you know, educating them as to the needs of campers with, and we're inviting everyone to bring toilet paper to the city council meeting, as well as, shall we say, advice on how to deal with council constipation, you know, the problem with constipated council members, or some of whom have diarrhea of the mouth. That also happens. That can be another problem. But I think the real issue is, you know, who's going to get the Golden Porta Potty Award? And I would encourage people to, you know, start thinking about who they're going to vote for in that respect.
We have a quick little
quick ballot.
Election. Yes, a little ballot before.
Well, Marilyn, is there anything more you want to say? I'm going to move on.
No, I'm just going to wind up real quick and just say they could do it. The city council could do it.
They could stop
it right now, immediately, if not yesterday. But they choose not to, and that would be the easier way to go.
Definitely.
And it would not take until November when people are in the rain.
It's a case of shit or get off the pot, as far as I'm concerned.
And if it's defeated in November, which we wouldn't want to think that it could happen, but it could. The reality is, you know, it's just like they've defeated rent control in this town for years.
That was a long time ago. It hasn't been on the ballot since 1982. So.
Right. I mean, the thing is that, you know, the people with money usually prevail because they can, you know, put out smear and...
that can happen too,
propaganda.
And that's a consideration.
Yeah, and so whatever. But the city council could do the right thing themselves, make it much easier. They could do it now. They're not going to do it. So I think the ballot's the way to go.
Thank you, Marilyn.
No other alternative.
All right.
We'll just fight for the good.
Right on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
See you
bye.
On Tuesday.
Okay.
Or on Friday, on Sunday.
Sunday. Bye-bye.
Did you want to say something there, Troll X? That's we just listened to Marilyn Weaver, who for many months sat on the Homeless Issues Task Force, or Force, actually. They weren't all bad. They did some extent what they could, but we know when push came to shove, they backed down. They wouldn't hold the council's feet to the fire, and that was really a problem for them. I got an incoming call here. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Robert, hi, Bob here.
Bob, before you speak, let me just quickly ask Troll X if he has something he wants to quickly say.
Well, it sounds like the instance she was saying about the gentleman that was hassled up in Pogonip, it sounds like they're making the raids again, so you brothers and sisters, beware, they're coming after you, they're going to do it again.
Thank you. And Bob, what are you saying? What do you think of all these dirty homeless people causing trouble and speaking out at inappropriate times?
Well, it's my understanding, if we're going to take the Santa Cruz Action Network and the entrenched, I hate to use the word leadership, but the entrenched power base in Santa Cruz seriously,
the Führership,
then rent control is not the way to go. Hmm. And that was determined last summer. And for all it was worth, the rent control attempt of last summer was the first time in, what, 18 years? 17 years?
Mm-hmm.
First time in California in maybe a decade. All right, but the appalling lack of support and the desire for a bandwagon before the so-called power base would come out public, I still find utterly disgusting. And it left a very deep mark on me, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, you, Bob, were very instrumental in pushing rent control. You almost single-handedly ran that campaign last year.
It is amazing that without a bandwagon, the term like progressive is used by this group of people that really have no business using that term. I feel sorry for what lies ahead, because you can imagine who's going to be the anointed progressives that are going to run for city council. And the students are going to be hoodwinked into believing these are really progressives.
Well, I don't know.
I think rent control, Robert, for me at least, was an acid test.
Well, remember, I think people are not as naive as they used to be, and people like yourself, I'm sure, will be coming to these forums and calling a spade, so to speak.
If you can't come public on rent control in Santa Cruz in the year 2000, you have no business being in local politics.
Well, maybe that can become an acid test of these council candidates as well.
And Nora Hockman, Skip Spitzer, you name it, Bernice Belton, they have no business anointing anybody. They never take leadership positions. They are not leaders. They are mediocrats. The exact opposite of what should be wanted by anyone who's serious about change. Don't look to scan for anything other than mediocrity.
Well,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bob.
You bet. Thank you, Rob.
Bob is a man who has a number of critical things to say about SCAN, many of them appropriate. As I said, today the SCAN Homelessness and Housing Committee met, and they decided to, largely under pressure from Resident the Unidos members, to support. SCAN had doubled back. First, on May 31st, it supported the guarantees that the Resident the Unidos Dolphin Lee tenants wanted, and they supported a halt in the Dolphin Lee project until those guarantees were granted, and they also supported a forum on affordable housing in the Beach Flats. Well, because Mercy Charity's housing people refused to be a part of that forum, they said the project is dead, and it isn't dead because the council continues to talk about it. The steering committee then ruled that they didn't have the money, they didn't have a written proposal, and they didn't have, what was the third thing, the money, a written proposal, oh, and the participation of Mercy Charities Housing, so they were postponing the forum indefinitely. Well, the response of Residentes Unidos was outrage, and some of us came to the SCAN Housing and Homelessness Committee and demanded that decision be reversed. Housing and Homelessness Committee has recommended it be reversed, and it's also recommended putting the sleeping ban on the ballot or immediately passing the sleeping ban by the City Council. And they also recommended rescinding the vote on the Catherine Byers' special sneak 1 a.m. sneak pass, where she had this withdrawing of the ordinance passed, when in fact it wasn't really agendized. What was agendized was having the issue come back on July 11th, and instead she killed it completely on that night when essentially nobody was there, very few people. So SCAN does have. If people pressure SCAN, SCAN acts. That's, I guess, the motto there. Wow. And we got
very rough.
We got a logo coming up. Yeah, this man, Troll X, you're also kind of an artist. I see you've made a nice picture. I want to see a lion on here, too, for the roar.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're going to put the lion there.
Cut the lion.
You know, we could work.
All right, I'm going to use this logo.
It was just that thought of the El Paso I was telling you about yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it just flashed on me. It's like, let me diddle it out real quick.
Yeah, we got a nice illustration here. We may be seeing it, some part of it in a Roar logo. So you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM still. We got 20 minutes left of Bathrop Spears' Broadside, Civil Rights for the Homeless, show that's on twice a week, Thursdays at 6 in the evening and Sundays at 11 in the morning. Regarding kind of a quick update, George Cavallo is going to talk about AB 1800, the new plan to make it much easier to psychiatrically drug people to drag them away and put them in psychiatric wards. He hasn't called me back yet, but I'm still hoping to have him on at some point. Free radio here.
Hey, Robert, this is Scott.
Hey, Scott Graham. You're a resident, the Unido Stalwart, you. So how are you doing?
Oh, all right.
I guess you've been, what have you been up to lately, and what's been happening with Resident the Unidos?
Well, so far, like you were saying earlier, the biggest thing that has happened is that they've basically put the city into a stall by refusing to divulge this information, which will allow the city to just go ahead with their minimal plans that they have on the drawing board at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the city, supposedly in the spirit of negotiation, has now put the exact same demands on the table that the city's always had, that they want to get in there and interview all of the tenants and mm-hmm. find out their where they're from, how long they've been there, how much money they're making, how many family members they have, all this basically confidential information.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, it's putting the horse...
Cart before the horse?
Cart before the horse, uh-huh. Because it's like, there's... First of all, the city has done nothing, as far as I know, of determining whether relocation in this project is even an option. Many of us believe it's not an option. There is no place within this county, even, to relocate this number of people.
And the number of people, again, is?
It's undetermined, but it's somewhere around 100 families.
Mm-hmm. And these are people who currently have housing they consider affordable. The owner of the property has agreed to a rent freeze till the end of the year. He's agreed not to sell the property to anyone but the city, and that after the tenants negotiate with the city for at least 3 months with an option to extend that if negotiations continue. And yet the city apparently doesn't want to negotiate. Now, who is calling the shots here, and why doesn't the city want to deal with the tenants, Scott?
Well, myself, I think they're just wanting to get this thing done. You know, it's going to be a showpiece for a bunch of people later on, and they just want to get it done at any cost. They're not looking at the human cost involved here.
Or the financial cost.
Right. They're just looking at some final product that they'll be able to go stand next to and get their photos taken. And, I mean, that's basically all I can see here is a photo op. And possibly, one of their cronies will end up getting a job being the caretaker of the place or the on-site manager. And according to the relocation plan, that's the only unit for moderate-income people. So, I mean, this person will be being paid, $40,000 a year, and plus get a free place to live.
Well, you think the project will actually go through? I know some tenants are concerned that this is a plan to get rid of all the tenants, raise the property, and then, should we say, pass it on to Canfield in return for something else.
Well, that's another fear that's totally justified. I mean, because Steele Cirillo, the head of the redevelopment agency, the executive director of redevelopment, she fronted for the Seaside Company for a year and a half trying to get this Beach South of Laurel plan through.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no reason on earth to believe that she wouldn't be doing something that in the long run is going to benefit the Seaside Company.
Now, and you haven't seen the agenda for next Tuesday, have you?
No, I haven't.
I don't think it's come out, but I know that tomorrow morning it should be out, and tomorrow evening there's going to be a meeting of Residente Unidos for those of you who are out there who are interested. It is a public meeting. It's at 124 Lee Brandt Street in the Lee Garage, which is half a block from the boardwalk, and folks are invited to come down. I think that there's probably going to be some fireworks or at least some interesting rhetoric, because I understand Mayor Sugar is going to show up there, and possibly Veronica Lopez Duran, who's sort of the redevelopment agency gopher, who wants to persuade all the people to line up at the community trailer and give away all the stats that the redevelopment agency needs to set up a plan to relocate them away. But they're under some pressure, are they not? Because I understand at the last city council meeting, the city council said, you have to come back for us to keep this project going. We want to know. We want access to the property. We want building inspectors on. We want private interviews. They're under some pressure. What should the tenants do?
Basically, I would my advice to the tenants is going to be that they stand pat, that they do not give up. You know, I mean, that's the only reason that they're still being talked to. Once they get that information, once the city passes the replacement housing plan and the relocation plan, it's all over. They don't need to talk to the tenants ever again.
Well, let me ask you this.
I mean, there's no need to, you know, and
sorry.
To me, the city council at this moment is at a historic spot. They've always claimed that the reason things have never worked in the Beach Flats is that they were never able to get an organized group of people down there to work with them on a project. And that's why they failed the last 20 years. Right now, there's a group of people that are willing to work with the city on a project, just not the project they're feeding to them at the moment.
And actually, the people have outlined for the city the kind of project they're looking for, and I think some SCAN members, like Fred Geiger and Tom Shaver, although Shaver's made some comments at city council that raised my eyebrows about supporting Mercy Charities housing without any backing from SCAN on that one.
Well, I think he was just trying to smooth some ruffled feathers.
Oh, with Elizabeth Vogel.
Like
But I think that SCAN wants to see this leapfrogging proposal whereby people where they will build on a part of the property, move people into the newly built thing, then maybe refurbish or demolish, as the case may be, but not have to send people out of the area and not have to look for housing in an impossible housing market. But when that proposal was kind of mentioned to Mercy Charities, I don't think they seemed too enthusiastic. What was your reaction to how Mercy Charities responded last Friday when they came to the Residente Unidos meeting?
Well, when people were talking about that particular issue of, like, building, you know, either at the Pink Palace first Mercy's response was, or Elizabeth Vogel's response was, well, that's where the child care and the community center will be. And then it was brought to her attention that, you know, maybe that's not the best use of housing money, that the housing money should be used for housing, and so they should start by building housing there. And she said, well, maybe that's a possibility. You know, it wasn't like she was ready to jump on board with that one. And then when the discussion of the parking lot adjacent to the Lee Apartments was brought up, she was saying, well, that's the Seaside Company's land. We'd have to do eminent domain. The city's not going to do that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then somebody, I believe it was you possibly, mentioned that, or maybe Phil Baer, that Mike Schmidt had talked to the Seaside Company, and they may be willing to sell part
Actually,
of that
we
lot.
We had bad news on that one today, by the way.
Oh, really?
The Seaside Company is willing to sell the Pink Palace. It's not willing to sell the vacant strip of property that they sometimes use for parking, although it's apparently residentially zoned, I hear.
Right.
And so they do so in either in violation of city law or with some special dispensation. I'm not
sure.
Well,
I'm sure they got a little permit issued a long time ago.
Well, I think it's still going to be. I think that we're coming into a period of elections and also a period of city council recess. In August, there will be no city council meeting, so the council is moving to pressure the tenants to act. What should the tenants do? Are you recommending they come again? They seem to have some success in coming to the closed session.
Well, I think
on the 27th, should they come again on July 11th to the closed session?
I think they should, and they should remind the city council about what just happened in Mexico. That the ruling party was dethroned down there.
Right, now rules.
The Mexican people are actually starting. You know, it's not something that's just happening here in Santa Cruz, but it's happening all over Mexico.
And there are elections coming up where these issues are important.
Happening in cities all over, you know, California and Texas and Arizona, too. Where
You'd
people,
hope so.
People are starting to feel like, well, there's no reason why we can't be empowered. We ought to, you know, we should present a voice, you know. And I think that, you know, the city council, if they decide not to work with the tenants on a really good project, is blowing a very historic opportunity right here.
What can the community do to support Residentes Unidos?
Well, I think the biggest thing would be to contact the city council and tell them that they should take this opportunity to actually work with the tenants and work out a project that the tenants like and that they like. You know, there's no reason why that can't happen. And
the number to call, of course, for city council, if you want to get their machine and leave them all a message, is 420-5017. Scott, I want to thank you. Is there anything you want to conclude with? Because I've got to run.
No, and then also people can go to the city council meeting on the 11th and tell the council to work with these people.
You can either do that at 5 o'clock at the Redevelopment Agency meeting, or there may be a possibility there will be an earlier litigation session, which I will announce on Sunday at the 11 o'clock in the morning edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides.
Unless they do something with the public comment session, again, this
right.
council meeting.
Which they've been playing around with that. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Have a good evening, Robert.
You too, Scott.
Bye.
I want to thank you, Troll X, for being on the air. We're going to kind of conclude this session with
Glad I could be here, man.
Hey, I'm glad you were here, and I hope to see you.
Hey,
and
I can help a little more later on.
You're helping fine, and you keep up the good work. We're going to be meeting again. Roar meets on Sunday at 4:30 at Harvey West Boulevard and Dubois Street. Come on out there, and you can give a call to off-air to Roar at 457-9754-1042. If you want to get a live voice, that's a message phone. You can call HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUF. This being 2 days after the 4th of July, I'm going to play one of my favorite routines from Stan Freberg about the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and I'm going to thank you all for being with us on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and thank you, Senor X.
Cool.
As it turned out, everyone did salute. The new nation had its flag. The general had his jacket. And Mr. Benjamin Franklin had visitors.
So you want to write me up in your brand new magazine, eh, gentlemen?
That's right, Mr. Franklin.
You got a name for it?
We call it Time.
Kind of a short name, isn't it?
Ample. We think it's ample.
Uh-huh.
Right to the point.
Uh-huh. Going to be a kind of a newsy little magazine, is it?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world. The only thing is, I don't know if I should help you boys. You know, I am pushing a magazine of my own every Saturday.
Pink-cheeked humanitarian Franklin, master of...
arpeggios, that sort of thing. This song is very fondly called Fat Boys.
Skinny boys got nothing to lean against in bed. Bony arms and shoulders only bruise my head. And when they try to wrestle me, I beat them pound for pound. Skinny boys got nothing to wrap your arms around.
Skinny boys got visions of godlike qualities. But every time I greet one, there's nothing there to squeeze. All that wasted effort, all that vanity. Skinny boys got visions of immortality.
Something about those muscle-bound boys practicing to clean and jerk, oiling up their bodies for the shine.
Never like those tan and lean boys. Too much pressure, too much work, looking in the mirror for a sign.
I just want a baby fat boy,
double-sized and double-chinned,
belly big and pillow to my brain.
I just want a spacious lap boy,
jumping on and sink right in,
loving handles driving me insane. All of that extra weight, all of that extra muscle to play with, gives me another reason to stay with the fat boys, fat boys. Everyone cleans the plate, truly inspired, the last of us lingers to sit by the fire and lick off the fingers of the fat boys, fat boys. Ow! Boys are losers who seem to try too hard. And every time they talk to me, they won't let down their guard. All that blind devotion, all that foolish pride. Skinny boys are losers with no place left to hide. I don't want no squeaky clean boys, so repressed and so refined, walking like their feet don't touch the ground.
I don't want no mama's best boy,
undeveloped, undefined,
waiting for his chance to be profound.
I just want an overgrown boy, unconditioned, unrehearsed, fleshy body waiting for the squeeze. Overweight and overblown boys, wet my whistle, quench my thirst, chubby cheeks just drop me to my knees. All that extra skin, all of that extra stuffing to yearn for, gives me another reason to burn for the fat boys, fat boys. Everyone wants to sin, truly discerning, the last of us hovers to turn up the music and turn on the covers with the fat boys, fat boys.
Fat boys so massive and fat boys so sweet. Fat boys too fun
cuddle and bite. Fat boys to feed me whenever we meet. Fat boys to turn out the light. Fat boys so ample to sample and hold. Fat boys to brighten my day. Fat boys so grand to manhandle and mold. Fat boys to steal me away. All that extra cheek, all that extra cargo to carry gives me another reason to marry the fat boys, fat boys. Everyone takes a peek. Truly determined, we go through the paces. We're puffing our chests and we're stuffing our faces for the fat boys, fat boys. Everyone takes a peek. Truly determined, we go through the paces. We're puffing our chests and we're stuffing our faces for the fat boys, fat boys. Fat boys, fat boys, fat boys. Fat boys.
It was a time for action and a time for words. On a hot July night in 1776, Benjamin Franklin was aroused from his work by the call of destiny.
Hey, you in there, Ben?
Who's that, Sylvia?
It's the call of destiny.
Come on, take a look through the curtains there.
It's Tom Jefferson.
What, again? Well, it's no good. I'll have to let him in. I'm coming, I'm coming.
Hi, Ben.
Tom?
You got a minute?
Well, I tell you the truth, we were just going out of town for the weekend.
But it's only Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned.
Well, what does that got to do with anything, Franklin?
I don't know. It's the first thing came into my head. I was just making conversation. An idle brain is the devil's playground, you know.
So you're pretty good at that, aren't you?
Yeah, there's some new wise sayings I just made up.
Wise sayings?
Yeah, I call them wise sayings.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you?
Well, I got this petition here I've been circulating around the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Kind of thought you'd like to sign it. It's called the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I heard about that. Sounds a little suspect, if you ask me.
What do you mean, suspect?
Well, you're advocating the overthrow of the British government by force and violence, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but... we've had it with that royal jazz.
Who's we?
Well, all the guys.
Who's all the guys?
Oh, George, Jim Madison, Alex Hamilton, Johnny Adams. You know, all the guys.
The lunatic fringe.
Oh, they are not.
Bunch of wild-eyed radicals, professional liberals. Don't kid me, Andy.
Oh, you call George Washington a wild-eyed radical?
Washington? I don't see his name on there.
No, but he promised to sign it.
Oh, yeah, that's George for you. Talks up a storm with them wooden teeth. Can't shut him off. When it comes time to put the name on the old parchment O'Rooney, try and find him.
And what are you so surly about today?
Surly to bed and surly to rise.
Oh, all right,
man...
all right. Let's knock off the one-line jokes and sign the petition. What do you say, huh, fella?
Well, let me skim down it here. When in the course of human events, so-and-so, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness...
That's pursuit of happiness.
Well, all your S's look like F's here.
No, it's stylish.
Oh, I see.
It's in. It's very in.
Oh, well, if it's in. Therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, so-and-so, solemnly publish and declare that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and so on. A little overboard, isn't it?
Oh, well,
you write this?
Yeah, I knocked it out. It's just a first draft, you know.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, why don't you leave it with me and I'll mail it in,
oh,
huh?
Oh, come on.
No, I tell you, Tom, let me say this. I'm with you in spirit. I'm sure you understand that, but, you know, I got to play it conservative. I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
I got the printing business going pretty good. Almanac made Book of the Month. And then I got the inventions, you know. Got pretty good distribution on the stoves now, and, of course, every Saturday evening, I bring out the mag.
The what?
Magazine.
Oh. Oh, that reminds me, that artist I sent by, did you look at his stuff?
You mean the Rockwell boy? Skinny kid with the pipe?
Yeah, that's a kid.
Yeah, I glanced at it, and he's too far out for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you got to play it safe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But getting back to the signing of the petition, how about it, huh?
Well,
it's a harmless paper.
Oh, sure, harmless. I know how these things happen. You go to a couple of harmless parties... sign a harmless petition and forget all about it. 10 years later, you get hauled up before a committee. No, thank you. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life writing in Europe.
Oh, come on.
Come on what?
Come on and put your name on the dotted line.
I got to be particular what I sign.
It's just a piece of paper.
Just a piece of paper, that's what you say.
Come on and put your signature on the list.
It looks to have a very subversive twist.
How silly to assume it. Won't you nom de plume it today? You're so skittish. Who possibly could care if you do?
The un-British Activities Committee. That's who.
Let's have a little drinko and fill the quill.
It sounds a little pinko to me, but still.
Knock off the timid manner if you want a banner to ray.
Banner to ray.
You must take,
I must take,
a stand,
for this brave
new land,
who wants
to live,
so concerned,
but if,
I don't diss,
he don't diss,
agree,
agree,
but a man can't be too careful what he signs these days. If I sign it, will you renew your subscription?
Yeah, if you promise not to keep throwing it on the roof.
Well, my...
If it isn't on the roof, it's in the rose bushes or in the mud.
My eyesight isn't what it used to be, you know. Besides, it's hard to hit the porch from a horse.
Now, come on. All we want to do is hold a few truths to be self-evident.
You're sure it's not going to start a revolution or anything?
Trust me.
Okay, give it to me. You got a quill on you?
Here you are.
All right. Look at that show-off Hancock, will you? Pretty flamboyant signature for an insurance man.
Ah, you did a good thing, Ben. You won't be sorry. Now, if I can just get another three or four guys, we'll be all set.
Well, I tell you one thing.
What's that?
You better get them to sign it in the next couple of days before they all take off for the 4th of July weekend.
And that was from Stan Freberg's The United States of America, Volume 1. I actually know every word of that routine. It's a wonderful routine. You're still tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and I'm your late host, Bathrop's Pierre Robert, here on the extended version of Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides. Usually, Uncle Dennis is here a few minutes before the hour, getting ready. For some reason, he has not shown up. Possibly he has been bushwhacked by local logging magnates. Let's hope not. I know that you've been seeing the usual propaganda against the tree sitters, and it shows how effective they're becoming. I wish I were knowledgeable enough to take his place here and to do the sort of some discussion of the Earth First topics. What I'm going to do instead until he arrives is I'm going to play a bit from Nena Ruiz's Residente Unidos press conference at the last city council meeting. And actually, I think I may not have to wait long because I hear him here. Come in. Come in. Hey. No, it's not him. It's one of those trolls again. The X-Man, I might say.
Who left his jacket, of course.
And I guess you better wear the jacket at night. Otherwise, of course, don't wear it after 11. They might mistake it for a blanket.
They just
that,
might.
That would be a $54 fine. All right.
That's what I don't need.
Well, we have an... All right, you take care. We have an incoming call here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Is there a song you could put on? I'd rather really not be on the air. I need to talk to you.
Okie doke. Well, let me actually get into this Nena Ruiz deal.
What's that? Is it a tape?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll hang on.
All right.
And again, this happened at City Council 2 weeks ago. Nena actually threw a press conference in front of the closed session right before it started and then led tenants into the closed session. You're going to hear that now. Some very interesting things were said. And there were some scam people there actually supporting her, so good for them. I only wish that that were more broadly done in the organization.
First, I'd like to thank everybody for coming here today to another press conference. I'm going to kind of read a little statement that I wrote up before I came here, and then I'm going to talk about other things also. Today I'm here to tell the City Council, along with other residents from the Dolphin and the Lee, that the tenants are outraged at what they're planning to do today with ending the project. We feel that this is punishment for a tenant organization for us speaking up regarding our fears and wanting to be involved in the planning process. Mr. Hernandez last week told me in his office how angry he was that we spoke out against him, saying that he is not our representative of our community. That's how we feel. Maybe he feels that he does represent a community, but we don't feel it's our community. I tried to get him to come get together with the tenants, even after he was so angry and yelling at me in his office. I still tried to get him to work with us with the tenants last week, or as soon as possible. He refused to do anything. He says that we've caused too much trouble.
And we interrupt this recorded version of the press conference 2 weeks ago of Nana Ruiz to bring you a live report from Vandenberg from Free Radio Santa Cruz correspondent Mookie. Hey, Mookie.
Hey, Robert. Evening to y'all, to you and everyone.
I'm going to turn you over to the V-Man, the most professional Free Radio Santa Cruz person here. He's backing away, but he's actually in here. So I'm going to give him to you. And you, why don't you guys talk briefly, and you can do the important report coming in.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate that. Just bailed on his show. Hello.
Hey, B.
Who's this?
This is Mookie.
Hi, Mookie.
Hi. Let me get some headphones here, just a sec.
Sure enough.
Why don't you go ahead and start telling the people what you're calling about?
I'm calling in. We're staging a backcountry resistance action here at the Vandenberg Air Force Base in opposition and resistance to the third and final test of the National Missile Ballistic Defense Shield system. And more or less the plan of the Vandenberg Air Force Base officials via the Pentagon is to fire, I believe it's a Minuteman missile with no nuclear warhead on it, towards the atoll in the South Pacific called Kwajalein, and that's about 4,200 miles away. And the idea is that they're going to shoot an interceptor missile from the test range, which is the island of Mech, and that missile is intended to intercept the Minuteman missile fired from here at Vandenberg midair and destroy it.
Wow.
145 miles in the air. The idea is that there's a lot of eyes on this test because this is the third test of the system. The first one was a resounding failure. The second one was a marginal success, and we can talk a little bit more about what the military defines as marginal.
Yeah.
After that, and this is the third one, and based on the results of this test, the president is going to, Clinton in this case, decide to fund or not fund the National Ballistic Missile Defense Shield. He's under enormous pressure, as are all politicians in the United States who accept this kind of money from the defense industry contractors, TRW, Boeing, other
Lockheed
people
like Martin.
Lockheed Martin, yeah, for instance, people operating in our area like that.
Right in Bonnie Doon.
Right, I'll tell you what, that's where I'm living now. And there's a lot of pressure and a lot of eyes on this to make it work. To make it look like it works. There's a conference of physicists in Washington, D.C. right now who are going on record as saying that they think that the plan is just totally unworkable. The physics behind it is imaginary, and it's basically a really perverted form of corporate welfare. You know, it's like the defense industry has put so much money into politics in this country that they expect to have contracts granted to them through the conduit that is the military and the Pentagon budget to pretty much do whatever they want. And most politicians tend to feel that way, too.
So you're down right now in Vandenberg, right?
Yeah, and the real deal is a couple people, arrests have begun. Our backcountry...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, our backcountry infiltration has started. The test is scheduled to begin
tomorrow
evening between 6:30 and 11:30. Is there...
In the evening is their
beginning their primary launch window, which will be open until the 12th, when an international treaty with the Marshallese Island kicks into effect, shutting down the base section of this test. That's
right.
the island of Mech in the Kwajalein Atoll for 30 days as its
fishing season.
Primary fishing season for the Marshallese people.
Isn't that nice of our government to
drop bombs in their waters? I've taken a good look at our government's history with things they call treaties, and quite frankly, you know, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the powers that be to keep their word on just about anything that they might say they agree to.
Yeah, I hear that.
And so, yeah, so this international treaty goes into effect, but so what? If the fucking national equals corporate interests of the United States get in the way, then we just might have to fucking nullify that.
So how many people have been arrested thus far?
So far, two people have been arrested that we know of. They're from the San Francisco Direct Action Network. They are in jail right now in the...
In a military jail?
No, not in military jail. They were arrested and booked for trespassing on private land outside the base.
Really?
Yeah.
Did this happen?
They were state troopers.
Yeah, California Highway Patrol.
And there's been one female and one male arrested. And they are not giving their names so far. I mean, it's like there aren't that many folks, you know,
for even jail support rallies.
Well, yeah, like the majority of there's like a 10%, like 20% jail support to people who are doing insurgency into the base. So it's like it's pretty low, and we don't have a lot of. Well, there were 120 people at a rally on July 1st at the front gate of the Vandenberg Air Force Base, but we don't anticipate that necessarily that level of support through the 12th. And so I'd just like to put out there for anybody who might have some time that they're not doing a tree sit in Ramsey Gulch supporting that, to get their asses down here to at least fucking stand in front of the Vandenberg entrance, which has been sued so that protests are allowed to happen on the public land outside the gate, to at least come and hold a sign in opposition.
So is there going to be a protest at the gate tomorrow?
Yeah, well,
it's
starting tonight. There's going to be an all-night vigil, and I myself intend to be going to, instead of to the front gate of Vandenberg Action, because there are real people in real jail right now.
Right.
And I know what real jail solidarity feels like. I'll be going after, there'll be some additional, I don't want to talk about too much about tactics, but there's some more shit that we have to stir up before
some
we're
direct action.
About to be quiet.
Right.
And so I'm going to be in front of the Santa Maria substation myself this evening, until...
Wow. How can people get down to where actions are taking place?
Let me get the... Well, one would get on the 101 South. I'd recommend taking the... What is it? The 1... Airport Boulevard. Take the 1 South to Airport Boulevard and make an east, and take that to the 152, which is the Hecker Pass Road, and you'll take that up over Hecker Pass, past the Mount Madonna State Park, which is real close to where our tree sit is, and so just raise your fist as you pass by, take 152 to 101 South, take 101 South to the 154, which is Los Olivos Road, it's in between Santa Barbara and San Luis Obispo. San Luis Obispo would be the first town you came to from the north. And it's like 4 miles before Buellton and about 25 miles after Santa Maria. It's this road to Los Olivos. And what we have is an 8-acre facility at this really, really sweet family. Bud and Dottie Booth have just like totally opened up their kitchen, their bathroom, their living room, their area.
That's beautiful. That's amazing.
To our action camp. And I mean, there's maybe 15. There's not 20 people here, but I mean, we definitely have the facilities for a lot more. And if the need be, we can definitely support a lot more activists down here on the site. And no matter what their level of commitment to the action, whether it would be
risking arrest
to jail support to all kinds of things. Just solidarity action in front of the jail and the front gate of the Air Force Base, which is, by the way, the command headquarters for the United States Space Command.
Wow. Vandenberg.
Yeah.
Wow. So are folks still in Santa Cruz that are networking with the folks that are down there at the base to coordinate rides if people still want to go even at this late date?
Most of the people that we were expecting to come are already here.
Right.
And so we don't have a mechanism for getting people down here other than their own initiative.
Right.
Right now, but we can... Let me if you want me to finish giving the directions on the air.
Sure.
Or I can just leave them with you. We are staying at Bud and Dottie Booth, and so you take the 101 South to 154 to Los Olivos, make a right on Grand Street, go 1/4 mile, make a left on Park Street, go 3 blocks, make a right on Easton, that's like E-A-S-T-O-N, and to Santa Ynez, and it's right there on the corner of Easton and Santa Ynez at 2520 Santa Ynez. And the telephone number is 805-688-7610.
805-688-7610.
Yep.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to put out to the listeners?
No, just a bunch of love, and to know that we're all the same person, and that we're acting in the interests of common folk. And if you're not an employing class person, you're a working class person, and like that's us, that's you. Come play.
And also, there's mobilizations around October 7th as well, and that's a global date. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the International Day of Resistance Against Nuclear Madness on Space or on a military basis. Nuclear space madness, that is, on military bases, and that's another solidarity action. There is, in fact, a satellite launch scheduled for October, and their mayor. With the resources we have for 1 or 2 days, and then we're going to be able to take that success to the Democratic National Convention happening in Los Angeles on, what is it, August 14th through the 18th?
Yeah, that's in L.A. There's also the Republican Convention starting in July 31st in
Philadelphia. I don't know about resources for getting kids out to Philly, but we can definitely go stir some shit up in Los Angeles and, just hopefully make it a very attractive, place to go for people interested in direct action after the Democratic National Convention, bringing the October 7th day of resistance to the attention of a bunch of kids who might want to come play too.
Let me ask you one question. Are there any kind of reporters there with you?
There is one reporter from Free Speech Radio.
Oh, yes. Excellent. Yeah. That's good. That's a really good program.
Then there's a freelance reporter from Santa Cruz who is doing pictures and some interviews, and the Sentinel, the Fish Wrap! Sentinel has agreed to run his story.
Cool.
So,
well, hopefully that will be good, but we are not holding our breath.
Yeah, well,
And in the meantime, we appreciate you calling in here regular. If there is possibilities for phone-in reports to Santa Cruz, feel free to call in anytime.
Okay, well, yeah, when people from our community start to get arrested, I'll probably call back so far.
Hopefully that won't happen.
Hopefully that won't happen, but you know what? It's a very realistic expectation.
Yeah.
You got to be idealistic and realistic at the same time.
Well, let me ask you another question. What kind of security do you think the military is taking on the base, like in terms of surveillance cameras?
There was a press release our tactic has never been a secret,
Right,
and it's like
obviously.
Vieques, and like here in 83 and in other places where this kind of resistance has taken place, it's not secret. What we're, ideally people who are back there at the time that they want to make themselves known very, very... no mistake. Oh, look, there's a person there.
Right.
And,
that's kind of the point, too, because, if they know you're there, they can't do the test.
Right, that's the deal. Like, if they're... there's sensitive areas that they don't want people hurt in, should there anything go wrong. They also don't want people, getting views at, really highly top-secret stuff. All kinds of stuff. And plus, I don't want to advocate or incite anything like that, but with, a high-powered rifle, one might be able to take down one of these Minuteman missiles, and I'm certainly not advocating for any of that kind of thing, but...
Right.
It could happen, and I'm sure it's a concern of theirs. We are nonviolent. We are, we're guerrillas, but we're nonviolent.
Right on.
And that's how it is. We're not here to hurt any people, and that's how it works.
All right. So again, what was your name once for the?
I'm Mookie.
Mookie.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was good to talk to you, Mookie, and appreciate the phone.
Oh yeah, I'd like to have a show on free radio, real quick. And
talk about these issues.
yeah. You said it. These issues and other issues and. All kinds of resistance music and that kind of thing.
Cool.
Before I drop off the line, Sister Tracy wants to get on with you real quick.
Okay,
and,
great.
Thanks to you and all the people listening for your attention and support.
And we sure do send you lots of love and good luck down there.
Feel that.
V-Man.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Good to hear you.
Good, thank you.
You're still in the air.
Say it again?
You're on the air.
Oh, I know. I just want to say for tomorrow between 6:30 and 10:30, for anybody who's listening, do whatever you can, light a candle, say prayers, because that's when, if we are not successful, that's when the missile could potentially be launched, and, you never know what could happen if there are people still back there and they do launch it, thinking that we're not back there. So just between 6:30 and 10:30 tomorrow, just whatever folks can do, That would be helpful.
All right, great.
So thank you, and we'll definitely be in touch.
All right, thank you, Tracy. Good luck down there.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, yo, what's up? Tony Pratt.